Open the Bibles. Open our Bibles in Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians chapter 4, right there in the New Testament. And let's look at verse 17. Ephesians 4 and verse 17 to verse 21. And it says there, are you guys there? You have your Bibles, your phones, your iPads, whatever has God's Word in. It's not the paper that is inspired, it's the Word, okay? So, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Look what it says. This I say, look at that word, therefore. Very important word right there. Now I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God to the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You being past feelings have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be, they have learned Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. And I pray, Lord, open our hearts, our ears, our minds, that we can listen to words of God, Lord. And I pray if there's someone here today or even on social media following us this morning, I just pray if they never received Jesus as Savior, may they consider Jesus this year. May they consider Jesus in their life. May they see their sin before Jesus and call Jesus to forgive them. And Lord, I pray, help me as I preach. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, we're going to actually, I don't know why, but our banner is still not here. And we're supposed to have a new banner and taking that one down. But that was our theme for the year, looking unto Jesus. This year, our theme is actually learning with the Master. And we're going to learn with the Master today. I'm going to stay as much as I can in the Gospels. And I told actually our Sunday school teachers to do the same, because I think if we're going to move forward as a church, we need to learn with Jesus. Okay? We need to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from Him. Because He's our Master Teacher. And I think sometimes we need to look at the Gospels. I think a lot of people say things that, well, the Bible says this. It's not in the Bible. I know, like somebody to me said the other day, God help those who help themselves. Well, you show me the Bible verse because I wanted to see it. It's not there. God helps those who cannot help themselves. All right? So anyway, but we're going to look at this and learning with Jesus. So today we're going to look at this morning. A new year requires a new walk. A new year requires a new walk. And the book of Ephesians is about walking. If you read the book of Ephesians, it's all about walking. Having the right walk with God. So, in the beginning of every new year, there's lots of people who make all kinds of new resolutions. Anybody here makes new resolutions? Well, good for you, but some people do. I'm going to have the membership in the gym. I'm going to be like Hercules. Only lasts about a week. I tell you what, one time it was funny. My brother-in-law did this. I used to go to the gym regularly. I just don't have time to go in anymore. But anyway, he comes in and I said to him, what are you doing? Like, oh, you know, 1 year I'm going to. And I said, listen, just come for a couple of weeks and see if it works. This works for you. Oh, it's going to work. And it lasts about a couple of days. Pay for the whole year, poor guy. You know, don't want to do that. But you know what? It comes with new resolution. But some of us make a joke about it. Like, we laugh about it. Because we know we make these resolutions and we're weak. It doesn't last a long time. It just falls down. But some people are very committed. I shared last week, for an example, I'm very committed every year to read through my Bible. That's my resolution. Every year I read through my Bible. By the way, somebody here in the church read the same chapter with I was the other day. And I was like, wow. But I'm on chapter 36 of Genesis. So every year, that's my commitment to read through the Bible. I want to, you know, when I finish, and then the Lord put something else in my heart, but that's something. And I said last week, it is interesting that, you know, you read the same stories, the same passages, but it's amazing how God puts something different in your heart every time you read it. So I encourage you. It's like, oh, I never read through the Bible. Hey, go right and go get it. Go read it. Read it. It's good for you. It builds your character, builds you up in the Lord. So, but we make jokes about it, but sometimes new resolutions and new goals in life are good. Sometimes changes are good. You know, you go home and you like the sofa in the same place, the TV in the same place, blah, 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 blah. And what about if you come home and everything is different? You say, I don't like that. Well, adjust to it. Sometimes the change is good. You know, sometimes, you know, you have things the same way and somebody comes along and say, why don't you have it this way? Oh, I never saw it that way. So sometimes changes are good. Sometimes a new direction in life is good. So we just enter a brand new year where lots of things will happen. Actually, there's a lot of uncertainty in our world. We don't know what's going to... Listen, hear me well. Take one day at a time. All right? Trust the Lord each day, because we don't know. We don't know where this thing is going. Okay? So take one day at a time. Trust in the Lord. So we just enter a brand new year where lots of things will happen. Actually, I like a picture that Frank put on Facebook about, you know, the Mexicans building their own wall. We don't want nothing. We don't like what's going on over there. We just bail out and stay there. I thought it was funny the way you put it. Oh, goodness. I got a good laugh out of that thing. So as we enter a brand new year, well, lots of things will happen, of course. There will be new challenges, new decisions, new problems to resolve. And as long as you live, there are always going to be new challenges, always going to be new problems, always going to be obstacles. It's always going to be, because that's who we are. That's the world that we live in. All right. So for us Christians, what should we do this new year? For some of us, the same old, it would be the same old, but for some others, they need a new radical change. There's some people in like, you know, it's same old living, you know, I'm trusting the Lord, I'm going to church, reading my Bible, I'm just going to keep doing the same thing. Great. But some others, they need a radical change. Some people never read their Bible. Some people, they never come to church. Some people never witness anybody. So I need a radical change. You know, one of my goals this year? I want to witness more for Christ than I ever did before. That's one of my goals. So I'm going to be more radical, more like, not like, you know, like be this, no, but be more open, be more used of the Lord. I don't know about you, but just me. The Lord put that in my heart. So, for example, last year, in the beginning of the year, I preached the message, more of Jesus, less of me. That was what John the Baptist said. He must increase, but I must decrease. So now, what is going to be this year for you and me? What are you going to do this year? Listen, believe me, each day that you and I have is a blessing from God. Because we don't have a promise of tomorrow. None of us. I mean, it's good we plan for the future. Nothing wrong with that. All of us do. You know, we save money. We have this vacation. That we want to go. We want to do this. Nothing wrong with that. We plan for the future. But ultimately, is this: we don't have a promise of tomorrow.
That's right.
You wonder why people have life insurance? Why is that? Because you might drop dead any moment, and you want to make sure your loved ones are okay if you leave the scene. I told my wife that it's funny because I'm worth more money dead than I am alive. So you have to be careful so she doesn't kill me. No, I'm just kidding, honey. So now, the first words in verse 17 here, there's a word that needs our attention this morning and our focus. Is the word therefore. So anytime you see therefore in the Bible, you should stop and see what is the therefore about. So this word calls our minds back to what Paul has been teaching about us and our high calling in Christ Jesus. So because we have been given all the benefits mentioned in verse 1 to verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 4, we now are to be like the lost who live without God in their lives. So what benefits is Paul talking about here? Now, our calling to salvation by grace through faith, verse 1 to verse 3, our unity in the body of Christ, verse 3, verse 6. If you are a member of a part of the body of Christ, you should rejoice every day. It's a wonderful thing. Now, our unique gift by the Holy Spirit to serve the Lord in His church for His glory, verse 7 to 10, our being built through the ministry of gift in the individuals or individual gifts to the church from verse 11 to verse 16, because we have been given all these advantages and made the partaker of such gifts from God, we are to walk in a manner that is different from the world around us. In this verse, we are therefore, as today, we are called to walk differently than the rest of the world does. Now listen, we look at the world around us, and listen, the world is the world. But we, if you are a Christian here, if you are saved, if you have God to forgive you of your sin, and if you put your faith and trust in Him, and you are saved, the Bible says you are a new creature. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So, You and I include myself in there, we used to walk in the ways of the world, in the ways that society mold us and shape us. But God says to you and me, now, therefore, because you've been changed, you've been transformed, you're a new creature, you ought to walk now differently. You don't walk the way you used to walk anymore, you have to turn around and walk differently. Now, that's why the world calls us odd people. Strange people, dangerous people. Listen, you consider yourself a dangerous person? We just want to serve Jesus and be good citizens in society. But anyway, we are to walk different. So let's look at this morning on the subject of a new year requires a new walk from several points this morning. All right? Number one, walk differently. From verse 17 to verse 19, we see we are to walk differently. If you are saved here this morning, you're no longer like you were before. You are made new. You are a new creature. You are saved. You are a child of God. Actually, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, again the word, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All the things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, you say, but I don't feel, listen, that's why we have to put the mind of Christ in us. That's why we have to get ourselves in the Bible, hear God's word and learn from Him so we can understand this new walk. Listen, nobody is born again in one day and the next day is a super Christian. Nobody can do that. We are babies in Christ. I only wonder why God calls us a children. We're constantly learning, so we have this new walk. We are not to walk like the world does. We have to walk differently. We have to stand up in the crowd. I saw a picture the other day on social media, and it's interesting that you say, this is a world. Everybody was black and white. And it says, this is a Christian. Here's a guy in color, right? He's standing in the multitude. And that's the way God wants us to do. The world's going this way, and we walk the other way. Our walk is different. So, and as a result of a new birth, we are now, we are saved, of course, and we are can live our lives the way everybody else lives. Listen, we are the children of the King. We are the children of God, so we have to resemble Him. The Bible says in Ephesians we are to turn into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you are different from the world around you. Paul challenged us to mark the difference between the children of God and the children of the world. We live in a world today that doesn't matter what you do, no matter what you believe, everybody's going to heaven. Everybody wants to feel good about something. Yep. All right, I mean, let them feel good if that's what they want to do. Is that true? No. Somebody said this. You can say, if you say a lie long enough, it becomes true. Because people begin to believe a lie. Well, let me tell you this. Listen, it doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you're sincere, God will take you to heaven. That's not true. Amen. That is not true. So, as Christians, we have to walk differently. So, letter A, the lost have a mind problem. The lost have a mind problem. And let me tell you, there's a lot of good people out there that who's lost. People that mean well, that's sincere, but they're lost. And let me tell you, put it this way. Hell, which is a place, is full of people who are sincere. Who were sincere. Yep. They believed the lie. People with good people who did so much good for society. People with good, great intentions, but know what happened? They missed the point. They missed God. So, look at verse 17, what it says. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. So, who's the Gentiles here? Everyone that is not a Jew. Alright? So, we are Gentiles here. Unless you from a Jewish background, okay? So, Paul says a lost walk in the vanity of their minds. So, the word vanity means emptiness, that which is wasted in nothing. The lost don't have any doubt, any regards for God. If they did, they would be here. There's a lot of people in this neighborhood. If they had any thought about God, they would look for God. They would come to the house of God. They think their minds, when they wake up in the morning, they don't think about God. They don't say, God, thank you for another day. No, they get up and like, where's my coffee? And you know, they go, whatever they do. But let me tell you, the lost doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. The lost doesn't think about God, speak about God, neither do they live for God. Actually, many of them use the name of Jesus and God in curse words. And they go on and say all kinds of nasty things about people and plug God's name in there. Now, their mind is full of earthly things. They're busy. Their mind is so busy with earthly things. That's the mind of the lost. And you say, how you know that? Because I used to be lost. I live like everybody else, and I understand. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Their minds are full of earthly things. They think they're things that will pass away. The lost would just existing and living empty lives because their minds are corrupt by the sin that dwells in them. The lost mind invents ways to serve the flesh or selfish desires of the mind. So the lost mind invents false gods, false religions, and foolish philosophies that are designed to showcase man and its accomplishments. Listen, we live in a world like that. Humanism is a high call today. Man have an answer for everything. You sick? Go to the doctor, gives you a happy pill. And you're good. And what about when a doctor says, nothing I can do for you? But let me tell you, philosophy, we live in a world that humanism. We don't need God, we need man to accomplish all those things. But you know what? There's no remedy for that. Go get the man that would get you to come alive. There's only one, it's Jesus. Yes, the inventors of the lost mind are empty of anything helpful, and they ultimately damning their own souls. Proverbs 16:25 says, it is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So folks, the unbeliever has a problem with their minds. His mind is depraved because of sin and is capable of producing nothing but thoughts of useless and worthless emptiness. Let it be. The lost have a heart problem. The lost have a heart problem. You wonder why Jesus said, I am the great physician? You know why? Because he's the only one that can come and do that kind of heart surgery. Look what it says in verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God to the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. God even says the blindness of their hearts. So, folks, let me tell you a true fact about here this morning. Christians ought to be walking in the ways of the Lord, but unfortunately, there are many Christians who are walking in the ways of the world. Isn't that amazing? God took us out of the cesspools of sin. And we say, God, I really don't want to walk in righteousness. I want to go back to the dirty life that I used to live. Why is that? When God took us out of there, why we want to go back to that stinky hole again? But people do that. We don't want to miss out in life. Let me tell you this. I live a long time in this life to tell you what. If you read your Bible, if you serve God, live for Him, come to church, fellowship with God's people, you're not missing nothing in life. You're actually gaining a lot. You be an example to others to follow. You be an example to your spouse, to your children, if you have any. And let me tell you, and when your so-called friends have problems, guess who they're coming to? To you. Yeah. Because now they trust you.
Right.
Because you are a person of integrity and a person that stands. Paul says their understanding is darkness. They are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The word blindness refers to stubbornness. You tell them about Jesus, and they don't want to hear it. They heard the truth over and over again, but they are too stubborn and too blind to admit that their sin is before them, and their sin keeps them away from God. You see, the lost people have a serious heart condition. I had a heart condition. I needed surgery. You know what happened? I went to the great physician. And he had heart surgery on me. And I got saved. That's what the humanity needs. They need God. You know what America needs today? We need God.
Right.
We put our faith in this guy, and that guy, and this other, guy. Guess we need God.
Amen.
That's what we need.
Right.
We argue and go back and forth with these politics. I mean, we need God.
Amen.
That's what we need. We need to have heart surgery. You see, the Word speaks of a heart confronted with truth, but which refuses to embrace truth. People believe all kinds of lies, and we tell them the truth, and they don't want to hear the truth. You tell me that I just have to repent of my sin, and that Jesus comes to my heart, and I'll be saved? Yes! Oh, but I got to do this and do this and do this. No, you don't!
Right.
You just have to acknowledge that you are a sinner, and you have broken God's law, and you're guilty before Him, and you need to confess your sin before God. Whether we like it or not, those who are lost are dead in trespasses and sins, like the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. So the human race did not merely get sick when Adam sinned, he literally died spiritually. So we have a lot of people out there who are dead spiritually. Not physically, but spiritually dead because of their sin. Their eyes are blind, they not see the truth, or they're ignorant to the truth, or they hear the truth and refuse to accept the truth. Isn't that sad? If a person sits in a Bible-believing church, hears the gospel over and over again, and kind of blocks that out, and dies, and finds himself in a place that he don't want his worst enemy to go. And let me tell you, and he has eternity to regret it. Let us see, the lost have a hands problem. Look at verse 19. You being past feeling and giving themselves over lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So because the lost are spiritually dead, they're then trespasses and sins. The Bible says they're past feelings. The phrase means they have lost a sense of pain. It's used in the sense of being bothered of their conscience is not bothered anymore. It's like you go to them and you tell the truth and they say, who tells you that you're right? I'm right and you're right. When you tell them the truth, they're so desensitized to it that they don't want to hear it any longer. So they question your truth. And you try to tell them the truth and they don't want to hear it because it's past feelings. It's like a person that commits murder and commits murder second time and murder third time. And after a while, it doesn't matter anymore because he lost respect for humans. You follow that? It's the same thing a person heard over and over again. It comes to a point, it's past feeling to him. The Word of God doesn't make any difference to him anymore. It is a life given over to sin, open sin. This is the sinner, works of uncleanness. The word work means the work hard to take pains or to do your best. Uncleanness speaks of impurity, of rotter or rottenness. Let me tell you this. Some people say, oh, but I see a lot of nice people out there. Yes, but when it comes to the mind, they're corrupted. Totally corrupted. I tell you why, I work with a lot of people. And I use that opportunity to tell them about Jesus. And let me tell you, it's exactly what the Bible says. They don't want to hear. They mock you, they laugh at you, they make fun of you. Because you are a Christian. So this idea here is that the lost person works hard in his sinning. He gives himself to actively to pursue an ungodly things. So number one, we see walk differently. Number two, to walk with discernment. We see this from verse 20, 21. If we are to avoid walk, behave like the lost, then we are to strive to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Having taught us what we should not be, Paul now teaches us how we should be. Now, Paul said, you shouldn't walk this way like the lost walk. Don't walk this way. Paul describes that to us how the lost of this world walks. But now he tells us, he doesn't leave you empty. You know the worst thing a parent does to a child? Is you take the toy away from the child, walk away, and the child is like empty-handed, and the child is going to get in trouble again. We all parents will fail on that. But let me tell you, you replace something, you give them something that is not dangerous. And Paul said, listen, this is the way the lost walk. I don't want you to do this, but let me tell you the way you should walk. All right? Now, walk with discernment. Letter A, follow Jesus' example. Look at that in verse 20. But learned of Christ. He says right here, listen, you're Christians. Listen, this is the way the lost walk, but don't you learn of Jesus? Why don't you follow Jesus' footsteps? People have a tendency to pattern themselves after other people. Oh, we live in a world today in America like that, right? You get some superstar out there, and before you know, you got a bunch of people following him like he is the God of something. And everything that person says is right. And let me tell you, some of them have no education whatsoever. But because of fame and name, they can't fall. They're walking in some type of a crystal bubble or something. I told you the one day that I did at my job, I went around and asked people if they wanted my autograph. I did it purposely. I mean, you know what? People go and do all kinds of things just to get these guys' autographs. I mean, they do it. Now, so I went around. I said, "Hey, how you doing? Good. Do you want my autograph?" I can give you my autograph. I give you it for free. What do I want your autograph for? It's because I'm Tony Barbosa. I'm famous. You know, I did it in my whole shop. I got two guys that said yes. One is a fellow Christian, and the other one was another fellow Christian. Nobody wanted. What a joke that was in that job that day. They didn't even go, hey, Tony wants to give autographs. Why don't you go see? See, follow Jesus' example. So people have a tendency to pattern themselves after other people. And I believe me, some people are great examples to follow. Great example. Put an example. I remember my grandfather, to me, it was such a great example of integrity and character, a man of his word that I could trust. And when I grew up, I always look up to my grandfather. And today I still think about him because he was a man that I could trust. And believe me, let me say that people at his word follow them. They are people who are morally upright, people of godly character and integrity. And it's easy to pattern our lives of people like that. But Paul goes on further right here. He says, even those people sometimes can disappoint you. And let me tell you this. He says, pattern yourself after Christ. The phrase learn Christ refers to being saved here. But as I have already said, when a person is saved now, it's got to be a changed life. And he says, don't you learn of Christ? And if you learn of Him, why don't we walk in His footsteps? It is important. We are not to allow our old nature. But let me tell you this. If you sit here today, let me explain this if you're a young Christian. When you get saved, you get a new nature, a spiritual nature. But your old self's still there. You have that new nature in you. But let me tell you, with that new nature, you can either serve one or the other. But let me tell you, God wants you to serve your new nature. Kill that old man that is in you, that is rotten, that is have a tendency to the ways of sin. See this, if you see that the new nature produces a life that's vastly different from a life of sin. The things that you used to do, you don't want to do anymore. You lose the appetite for that. Listen, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I did all the things out there that everybody does. I went to the nightclubs. I went to the bars and all this. I did all those things. But let me tell you, I grew away as I served the new nation. It went away from me. No desire there. It produces a life of godliness if we pattern after Christ. Let it be, follow Jesus' teachings. Look at verse 21. It says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is what? In Jesus. Truth is in Jesus. The Redeemer no longer ignorant of trap in that and disillusion of their sin. The Redeemer have not to hear the ways of the world. The Redeemer have not to be patterned himself after the people of this world. Listen, we have Jesus as our teacher. Read the gospel. See what Jesus had to have. Pattern your life after him. And you will see the difference you're going to make in this world. Listen, the people of this world need people that pattern themselves after Jesus, because that's people who can be trusted. When Jesus Christ came to us, he brought with him knowledge and truth. The thought is that truth about God himself is spirit, heaven, hell, sin, salvation, death, life, grace, faith, righteousness, eternity, judgment, the purpose of life has a new meaning for those of us who are saved. Because we understand now. We no longer in the dark, but we now walking in the light. Jesus was taught as this truth in John 16:13. He says, and this truth he made us free. Now consider this. 1 John 5:20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even as his Son, Jesus Christ. This is a true God and eternal life. So, we see right here, we have to follow Jesus' teachings. And let me tell you this, you are Christian, or most of you are Christians here. Let me tell you this, when is the last time you read your Bible? When is the last time you prayed? Amen. When is the last time you say, what did Jesus say about this situation I'm in? Amen. I have this problem with this person. How would Jesus deal with this person? You see, that's following Jesus' teachings. Because if we follow his teachings, we become better people. Amen. Listen, if we hold grudges, if we hold hate, if we hold unforgiveness, we are not following Jesus' teachings.
That's right.
We're following the pattern of this world. You do to me, I'll be back to you. I get even with you. That's the world. God says what? You pray for your enemies. You forgive your enemies. You do good to your enemies. And God wants us to do that pattern of following Jesus' teachings. So, number one, we see walk differently. I'm sorry, I can't even read this. Walk with discernment, number three. Walk decisively. We see this from verse 22 to 24. Since you and I have been changed by the power of God, and since we have been taught the truth about God and Christ, we ought to make some active changes in our own lives. Some people are very decisive about many things in life. For an example, did you ever drove around in your car for a good period of time and indecisively don't know where you go or you want to go? Or you say to your wife, honey, let's go out to this restaurant or let's go out to eat. And you ask her, where you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. And it goes on for a while, and then nobody makes a decision. 1 hour later, he's still going, I don't know. Some people are very indecisive about those things. And sometimes you might drive to the restaurant, and then you change your mind. I don't think I want to go there. And then the other goes, where do you want to go? I don't know. So where do you want to? Why change your mind? I don't know. I want to. Some people are very indecisive about life. But we have to walk decisively. We have to make, you know, walk in Jesus and being decisive in what we do. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to commune with God. That's where I'm not going to change my mind. What about trying to get out of bed in the morning? 5 more minutes? Oh, 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes. 1 hour goes by and he's still going, 5 more minutes. Get up! Get going! I'm telling you, it happens to all of us. This morning I get up, I woke up, and I'm like, I better get up. We have to do decisively. No, three actions Paul mentions in these verses here. I think this is in your outline. Put off, verse 22. Be renewed, verse 23. Put on, verse 24. Are not commands for the believers. They are actually statements of fact. That's the way we should do as believers. We have to put off the old man. We have to be renewed in our minds. And we have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying right here. So each of these statements refer to the Lord and what you have done to us, but also what we have to do as Christians. We have to put off that life of sin. Listen, put it away. He said, oh, but I have to give away some of my friends. I have to give them out. Give them out. Listen, it's not uncommon that if you get saved and start following God that you're going to lose friends. They don't want your godliness.
Yeah.
You're not fun anymore. I lost some of them.
Yeah.
You're not fun anymore. So I can't give up that. Listen, I better live a life of righteousness, integrity, and character and try to win them for Jesus because that's what they need themselves.
Amen.
This thing about trying to fit in. So you go and do what they're doing because you try to fit in. Guess what you're doing? You are destroying their lives. By not telling them the truth. Letter A, renounce ungodly habits. Look at verse 22. And put ye off concerning the former conversations of the old man, that old nature in you, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. So the phrase put off means to strip away. It is the image of taking your old clothes off and put new clothes on. Strip it off. That old man got to go away. What's the old habits you have in your life? You know, like I said in the beginning, some people need a radical change in their lives. What's the old habits? Social drinking? Drugs? Lust? Gossiping? Unforgiveness? Hate? We all have habits. And some of us have bad habits. Old habits. And it says right here, strip. What the Bible says right here, Paul is actually telling us here, to strip it off means get rid of it. He said, why you should, if we're going to walk the right walk with God, we need to get rid of it. How can you walk with Jesus if your heart is full of hate?
Amen.
How could you walk with Jesus if you have no forgiveness in your heart to give to anybody?
Amen.
How can you walk with Jesus if you're still doing drugs or lusting after other people? How you can walk with Jesus in a godly way if you're doing all these things? You see, Paul says, strip it off, get rid of it. You know, and if you have a shirt that you've been wearing for a week or two, or 3 weeks and never wash it, some people do when they go to concerts, you know. They go to concert, they get this t-shirt, and they go to the autograph. And everybody, oh, I never take this shirt off as long as I live. And a month later, you still have the shirt on, and somebody says, you stink! Get the thing off! Well, that's what bad habits do to us. It makes us stink. And God says, how can you walk with me? How can you pattern yourself after me? You have all these bad habits following you along. Get rid of it. Let it be. Renew your mind in the Lord. And look what it says in verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see that? The lost sinner is lost in trespasses and sin. The lost sinner doesn't have the mind of God. On the other hand, the saint of God is to walk like the lost, but is to walk in the renewing of their mind. And let me tell you, that's why it's so important for us to read the Word of God.
Amen.
You need to read the Word of God because if something's going to renew your mind, it's the Word of God. I'll say, well, I read the Word of God when I come to church. Well, you know, you're doing yourself a disservice.
That's right. Amen.
It's like a poor flower that is in the desert and doesn't rain for a month, and the flower is just dying. That's exactly the way. It's a picture that I'm trying to picture if you don't read your Bible. You need to renew your mind in the Word of God.
Right.
If something's going to renew your mind, it's not your pastor, it's the Word of God. Oh, didn't go to college to read. You don't need to go to college to read the Word of God. Start reading it tomorrow, today. Because if we're going to renew your mind in the ways of the Lord, we need to read His Word. We need to understand who God is, what He's about, what He stands for, about His goodness, about His love. All these things we need to learn from Him. Renew your mind in the Word of God. You'd be amazed how many Christians never read their Bible. You'd be amazed how many Christians never read the Bible from cover to cover. And sometimes they say things and you say, where did you hear that in the Bible? I don't know. My Bible doesn't have that. Which Bible are you reading? Oh, I'm reading the KJV. Oh, show me the Bible and the verse. I want to see it. It's not there. Renew your mind in the Lord. Let's sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from Him. So the mind of the lost man will lead him every father away from God and deeper into sin. The mind of the saved, however, will lead him ever closer to God and ever deeper into holiness. And let me tell you this, folks. You will never miss it. But the closer you get to the Lord, the closer He will get to you.
Amen.
And your walk with the Lord will be sweet. And people around you will see that. And they will want that for themselves. Let us see. Put on the new man. Look what it says in verse 24. And that ye put on the new man. We are going to put off the old nature, the old man. We have to replace with something. God doesn't want to leave us empty-handed. He wants us to give us something, a new nature. And that new nature is a new creature, a new creation. We are made new. You've been cleaned. We are made whiter than snow. You ever see the purity of snow? We have no reason to go back to that former ways of life. And let me tell you, there is two walks this year. This is the walk of the old man. This is the walk of the new man. So which way are you walking? Which way are you going this year? Are you patting yourself after some movie star, after some sports star, after somebody because they're famous and they're rich? You know, the happiest people on this world are not the rich.
That's right.
Are the ones who are content and satisfied.
That's right. Amen.
You can be living in a shack somewhere or in the street and be satisfied and content. You say, well, but you know, what kind of life is that? Paul was in prison and Paul said, I am content. Because I have Christ. Sometimes we think only if I have this car, only if I have this house, only if I have this much money, only if I have this thing and that thing, then I'll be happy. And they get there and they're never happy. I'll give you a scenario. It was a football game that I watched. It was a few years back. It was the Cowboys. I'm not a Cowboys fan, but anyway, it was the Cowboys. And this play in the Cowboys, and the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, and he said in the end, a journalist interview, and so, how you feel about winning the Super Bowl? He goes, well, I actually set myself up to this. I thought it would feel different. It just feels like I just won a game. And that's the way people are. They're like, you know, only if I have this, only if I have that, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be satisfied. And when I get there, there's no satisfaction. Listen, folks, if we're going to be satisfied, you know what we need? We need to feed from the Word of God. We need to learn and understand what life is all about. We need to understand the meaning of life. See, we live in a very humanistic society. We live in a very humanistic world. Man has the answer for every problem of life. And let me tell you, man doesn't have the answer for every problem of life. God does. We think that... Listen, we made God so small. We made God so insignificant and so powerless, then we think that man has the power over everything. Really? We cannot even control a rainstorm.
That's right.
It comes the snow, everybody's panicking. Let's go bread and milk. Let's hide at home because the snow is coming. And is that what we do? Everybody is afraid it's another big calamity like 1978 came about. We go... So we are so strong, and at the same time we're so weak we don't want to admit. But let me tell you, pattern yourself after Jesus. If you're married, be the husband that God wants you to be. If you're married, be the wife that God wants you to be. If you are a child, be the child that God wants you to be. B, build character, integrity in a world that doesn't have any. Listen, as I heard that message this morning in Sunday school, it's hard to find somebody to trust these days. Very hard to find somebody to trust. Because we live in a world of so much deceit. People that just want for themselves. But let me tell you, you and I can make a difference in the world that we live in. You and I can pattern ourselves after Jesus, walk in His footsteps, and say, look, Jesus, I'm walking behind you. I'm following you. And let me tell you, I guarantee you, you will make a difference in this world. You will make a difference in your world, the people that you have relations with, the people you work with, you will make a difference. Because they're going to see that you're a person of integrity, a person of character, a person that speaks the truth all times. And they will trust you. It's good to be trusted, isn't it?
Amen.
Isn't that good to be trusted? It's good when somebody comes to you and talks with you or say something very, very, to them is very dear. They don't want nobody to know, but they come to you because they can trust you. And let me tell you how we do this. Let's walk. A walk that gives glory to God this year. I conclude with this. How many of you are in the business of being different this year? Do you need a radical change? Listen. Here's the menu. This book has been changing lives for centuries. And it can change your life and my life. And you will pass out of the scene and this word still around. They will continue to change lives. Get your minds in here. And let God change you. Read the word in season, out of season. Even what you don't feel like, read it. Feed on it. And God will change you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.